the talk of planet Earth. This is TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Welcome to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. And now, here's a Cubs fan who drinks light beer and has mustard relish and grilled onions on his Chicago dog, and a White Sox fan who prefers single malts and Cuban cigars. But there's no mistaking their everlasting love for the Fighting Illini of the University of Illinois. You are Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
We're Talking Illini here, Tuesday, December 15th. Happy Hanukkah, Mr. G, to you and our fans that celebrate Hanukkah, and an early Merry Christmas, because you are kind enough to give me next Tuesday off. So I'm going to be spending time with my daughter, a daddy-daughter day.
That swings both ways on the holidays.
She'll be home from school, and it'll be the only time I'll see her, because she'll be working or shopping or playing. She's going on a ski trip, but next Tuesday we got the day to take care of some business, attend a basketball game that some high school girlfriends of hers are playing Division I college ball against each other. And one of her wishes for the holidays was to see a Blackhawk game that she's never done before. And Grey Goose Paul from Deerfield helped out to procure some tickets for next Tuesday night. So I will be taking a day off. Mr. G will have many, many surprises, I'm sure, for you fans. So
we've
if
got
I forget
an email
at the end, Merry Christmas to all as well.
We've got an email, Boz, from Charlie Davis. One, he thinks we're beating a dead horse as it relates to our flawed football team.
Well, we probably are.
Well, you know what? But it's our horse. We have an excellent basketball team that has superior coaching and student athletes who deserve our focus, and we will get to that basketball team, as we did in the last portion of our segment with Lindsay Wilhite. And besides, there's more important news today. The Big Ten, as Charlie is saying, is considering adding a 12th school, and perhaps we should touch on that for a while. Boz, what do you see, and who would you like to see as the 12th Big Ten member?
Well, it's not going to happen. I'd love to see Notre Dame. I think that, you know, logistically.
Okay, so let's say it's not going to happen. And move on.
Well, the next logical in my mind, I'm just thinking geographic, would maybe be Missouri.
Unless you go to Penn State, and then the most logical member would either be Syracuse, Pittsburgh, or Rutgers. Where do you think the Big Ten benefits most? Or maybe you take three teams. Maybe you take Syracuse, Pittsburgh, and Missouri, and you make it a 14-team conference.
And what, two halves of seven, and you get
you
six.
Figure that out without taking off your shoes, didn't you, Buzz?
And so for there's a lot that goes into this. So if you had, they're not going to go to 14. They're going to go to 12.
Okay. So does it make more sense to take an Eastern team or a Southern Midwestern team?
Well, you know, Penn State would want an Eastern team.
We already went through that. And tell me where you think the argument lays. Or lies.
You're going to have to explain to me before I give you an answer. I don't really see what kind of benefits, why schools want to move. You know, why would Pittsburgh want to move, or Syracuse has been in the Big East forever?
All 11 Big Ten schools are members of some research university consortium. And I think that the advantages to moving into the Big Ten have more to do with a lot of these schools in academics than it does in sports. Minor sports, they benefit.
Well, then that would take me out of the conversation.
So I think that Pittsburgh would feel that they would benefit academically. Missouri would clearly benefit academically. Syracuse probably would as well. Rutgers, I'm not sure that Rutgers is the play. I know it's part of New York City, and you gain a big market there. I'm just not sure that Rutgers is a good fit.
Well, if you do this, then you're heading down the path, certainly in football, where you're going to have a championship game between, you know, this Eastern and West, or North or South, however you split it up. Are they ready to do that? They've been so adamant against it.
I think that there is a groundswell of support for a Big Ten title game and a 12-team conference. And I think that the fit will have as much to do with academics as it does to do with sports. And I think that Delaney always keeps television revenue in mind. But remember, ultimately, it's going to be the 11 presidents who vote on whether or not a 12th member is added and who that 12th member is. So it's not going to be necessarily driven by sports or television.
Okay, we ready to talk about our great basketball
team? I certainly am, Boz.
Since Vegas, starting the second half of Clemson, the shooting percentages have been to our shooting percentage.
Do you have the precise percentage?
No, I don't have the cumulative, but I have in front of me at Vanderbilt, we shot 59%, 53% from 3-point range. Western Michigan, we shot 48%, 37.3 from 3-point range. So that's a pleasant surprise even to Bruce. I heard him commenting on that. But, you know, a reason those numbers are so high, I believe, is because we're getting easier, more high-percentage shots off of our presser defense and transition, number one.
I think we have better players.
Number two, we have better players and better shooters.
I really think it's a function of the fact that we have better shooters who are better players.
You've got two new starters. I mean, Davis Tisdale and
You're presupposing
McKamey,
that Tisdale, Davis, and McKamey have not improved from their sophomore to junior
years. No, I'm about to say that they have. And
so they're not the same players they were a year ago. And I think that you've got guys like Cole coming off the bench. Even, you know, a guy like Legion, a guy like Jordan is shooting a little bit better as well.
Well, and the other thing is that
and Keller clearly has shot better off the bench.
When was the last time you saw the shot clock running out? With a last second.
We still
Hail
try to
Mary.
Milk the clock at the end of possessions
in
the last
try.
5 minutes of games. We do. It's the one knock that I would have on Weber's game coaching. It's what I would call the Virginia Tech syndrome, that where we're up by a good amount and we just try to milk a lead instead of being aggressive and looking for our shots.
Well, I think the shooting percentage, the third aspect of it is that they are running the offense and moving and getting, you know, good high percentage shots and making the extra pass. In the Vandy game, we had 20 assists. The Western Michigan game, also 20 assists. Those are some nice numbers.
What is McKamey's turnover to assist ratio thus far this year?
I don't have that.
I think it's actually not great. It's the one knock I have on McKamey is that he's really a shooting guard who's forced to play point guard. He does get assists in this system because you can't help yourself. You know, there are guys open, you rotate the ball, or you don't play. And so he is getting assists. But his turnovers, he's got to keep that number down. I believe it was one game he had 5 or 6 turnovers. You cannot play point guard and have 6 turnovers in a game. It doesn't work.
Well, you know, some of those are taking some chances in transition, playing with some degree of reckless abandon, which I don't mind. You know, for the amount of time you got the ball in your hands, let's look at it team-wise, okay? Western Michigan is a team. We had 11 turnovers, 14 against Vandy. You know, if you keep it, you know, 10, 12 or under, I think
under 14 and that's an acceptable number. And it's also where you turn the ball over. Somebody made mention of this fact. I thought this was a really interesting observation. The difference between a dead turnover and a live turnover. A dead turnover is a turnover that causes an out of bounds play for the other team. A live turnover is a turnover that causes transition baskets for the team that you're giving the ball back to. And they said that it's, you know, if you're in a situation like that where you're trying to force the ball, you really want to make sure that you're creating dead turnovers versus live turnovers. I never thought of it in terms of what kind of turnover is a better turnover from an offensive perspective.
Well, yeah, clearly if you could keep the ball in play and you have numbers and beat the opponent down court, that's going to be a better situation. Mr. G, let me tell the fans, if you want to call in and talk Illini Hoops, the number's 888-463-6748. or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. We were hoping to have Angela Bazzari call in and talk to her a little bit about her career on the U of I track and cross country team. She's a senior and has some finals today. If we don't get her today, we'll get her in the next week or so. We did not get her number to call. She was supposed to call in. So far, we haven't heard from her. So.
I want to read Matt from Chicago's email. Love the defensive intensity in the last few games. I think we can keep that up. We're going to be awfully tough to beat. Bruce Weber's knack for the flow of the game is otherworldly. His key timeouts and his substitution patterns over the last few weeks have been outstanding, and this is why he's one of the best coaches in the nation. Our execution out of those timeouts, it's the best it's been in years. When are you guys going to do a live broadcast from Joe's on Weed? His suggestion, January 5th or 12th, both Tuesdays before home games. Not sure how many guys games you guys go to. But live from Weeds, what do you think, Dave behind the glass? You up for a night at Weeds Bar doing a remote broadcast?
No, it's Joe's at
Joe's,
Weeds.
Yeah, Joe's on Weeds.
Unless you just renamed it.
No, no. And we're getting a big thumbs up from Dave behind the glass.
The 5th, we have a game versus Iowa at 8 o'clock, so we could do our show 4 to 6 or maybe for...
And what about the 12th?
The 12th is Penn State, and also an 8 o'clock game. Those will both be broadcasted on Big Ten Network, so we can do the show, stay there, hobnob with the fans, watch the game.
Would you suggest that we do the show from 6 to 8 and bleed right into the game?
That's fine with me. That's up to Dave and Chris and the talk show.
You know, Dave's got two young kids, but I'm looking at him.
He might need a night out.
He's looking for an excuse to spend a night out, I think.
Well, Mr. G, that sounds like your territory to handle with Joe's and Talk Zone, and you just tell me when to be there, and I'll be there with my orange and blue. Let's address Matt's email. Great email, Matt. Thanks for sending it in. You know, early on, Bruce was complaining like he always does about the defense, but you're absolutely right. The last few games, again, since the second half of Clemson, I thought the defense has been terrific, much improved. Lindsay mentioned, and I was going to mention this, you know, before the season started, when last season ended, everyone was talking about replacing Chester Frazier and who's going to be the defensive stopper, and most people brought up DJ Richardson. And lo and behold, the guy they tried first the opening night against SIU and have continued to do so in all these matchups is they're putting Brandon Paul on the other team's best scorer to start games, and he's holding them down. And those players are not getting their average when they play us.
The two areas that we need improvement are our dribble penetration. Guys are still taking us off the dribble and penetrating into the lane. A guy like Cool, the white kid from Western Michigan, he wasn't going to do that to us. But there are guys who can break us down. And the other area, I still think that Davis and Tisdale are soft on their interior post defense.
Well, they're getting better. You know, Tisdale's blocked a heck of a lot more shots, it seems like, already than you've seen in the past, and keeping them alive and either grabbing the ball or someone else grabbing and starting an outlet for a fast break. You know, one of the things I've liked the last few games is, you know, we mentioned that Tisdale, Davis, McCamey, they have to keep improving in order for this team to keep winning and rise in the national ranks, and so far they have, and it'll be interesting. Saturday's game will be very interesting. They will have had a week off. They probably wouldn't have as much practice as normal because of finals. They're going on the road. Now, again, luckily Georgia is not a powerhouse, but it'll be interesting to see how that game goes, if we could come out right away and get up on them and maintain and hold the lead and win in double digits and run up 75 to 80 points like we have been against a lot of
opponents. The area that I've seen real improvement defensively is our show defense on the pick and roll up top. Our bigs are getting out in a better fashion. They're cutting off guys. They're forcing guys to go wide and allowing us the time to rotate back on defense back to our player. That's an area where I didn't think we did a particularly good job the last couple of years. I'm seeing a better job of it. Even a guy like Keller, who's not known for his defensive prowess, is doing a reasonable job of coming out and cutting off that play.
Yeah, I agree. Again, the last 2.5 games, we've played very, very well, and, you know, if we could keep that momentum, that intensity, and keep getting better. I see us winning a lot of games in a row here, including Gonzaga at the UC. Missouri will probably be the toughest, just like, because of the style and the rivalry and all that kind of thing. I'm not that concerned about Northwestern at home. Yes, they've been playing well and whatnot, but, we usually take care of them at home pretty well. And then, like I said, the Big Ten schedule, after the Gonzaga game, we have Iowa at home, we're at Indiana, we have Penn State at home, three very winnable games before we go to Michigan State and then have Purdue. And then after that, we have Iowa, Penn State, in Indiana again. So
if you've gone through every game and analyzed on a game-by-game basis and come up with, you know, first-half scores, second-half scores, who's going to turn the ball over how many times?
No, you're being funny?
You think?
No. I know you. You're not being funny. You're being have you gone sarcastic through the, and antagonistic.
Have you gone through the schedule?
I've gone through the schedule as far as I just said. And I said, we're going to win several in a row. We're going to get off to a good start in the conference, and people are going to be chasing us.
By the way, the White Sox acquired Juan Pierre from the Dodgers today. Can he play anymore? Does he have any talent?
I don't know. What is he, about 43
Dave
years
is shaking
old?
His hand a little bit.
I heard Kenny, the great Kenny, say starting in left and leading off for as many games as he wants.
Juan Pierre, huh?
You know, what can I say? I want to say another thing about our basketball squad that I am very excited and impressed with, and that is DJ Richardson's ability to score off the dribble. Now, we've all known that since his sophomore year in high school, I saw him play at the Proviso West tourney, and he's always been a shooter, more of a catch and shooter, but I've been pleasantly surprised on how he is going right. I haven't seen him go left much, but going right hard on a couple dribbles and stopping and rising above the defense and hitting shots. He's been very strong with that move. I'm very impressed with that. That's an extra added bonus, I think, that we're getting right now, out of DJ. And, you know, things are looking very good. And you know, last game, he got Griffey and Legion a few minutes, both of them did their thing, played pretty well. Legion made a few shots. Griffey, I think he's going to want to get, you know, make sure he gets in a little more. He looked very good the other day. Offensively, he still needs some work defensively, but he makes shots. He hustles. He's a pretty good passer. So hopefully we can get these guys in and develop the bench and develop the depth that we're going to need in conference play.
By the way, if you haven't looked at the blog this week, I have not written my weekly blog yet, but we do have an email from
Richard
Foley.
How about a cheery, positive holiday?
Yeah, blog. It's not my nature. Richard Foley wrote a very nice email describing his Illini history. He's one of our Alaskan songwriters. He went to Illinois, grew up in Champaign, did not graduate from the university, but is a diehard Illini fan. His history is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. He actually has a relationship.
How fascinating is it?
No, it really is. He has a relationship with former university president David D. Henry, who I think was married to his mother's sister. He still remembers with utter horror the fact that the slush front broke on his 13th birthday.
Easy for you to say.
In December of 1966. We're going to break for a minute or two here to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with the one and only Brad Sturdy.
Never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Now, that's not exactly the saying, but it seems like people would rather have a root canal than do something about their finances. That's what AXA Advisors is all about. Working with you one-on-one so you'll have a financial plan for the things you want tomorrow. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 224-554-8053. That's 224-554-8053. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
You buy the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. RizzaCars.com.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
Radio and the Internet.
TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. You're Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com.
We're back.
You think? Is that a question or a statement?
No. We're back. About 40 minutes to go. Talking Illini. Give us a call. We're talking hoops now. 888-463-6748. Talking Illini at yahoo.com. We got a team to talk about. We had the Illini shootout. We got recruits to talk about. And
Brad Sturdy's on the line.
Okay. Brad, how's it going today, buddy?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Did you get your workout in?
Yeah, I did, actually. So I'm doing well.
How does one Brad Sturdy work out?
I did a little weightlifting, a little cardio. So needed some work, you know.
But you're not pounding it on the hard court. You know, I see you as a point guard and pickup games. None of that.
You know, I'm too old for that now. I just play periodically with high school kids every now and then. But, I don't like to handle the ball. I just want to shoot now.
So, there you go.
I don't believe in that whole I used to be a play defense and handle the ball, but now I'm smarter now. So.
You just hang out on the perimeter and just pick your spots.
Exactly. Exactly.
Before we get to the recruiting, let's talk about the squad. They've been playing pretty well since the second half of Clemson. We've talked about defense improving. We talked about the offensive shooting percentage has been terrific. How's this come about in your mind, Brad?
Well, I think they're getting more comfortable in their roles. They're starting to figure out, you know, what they can and can't do. I think defensively, they're starting to respect the other team. They're starting to understand game plans and, you know, how to force kids and, you know, force the right people to take the right shots for the other team. You know, as a defense, you can't always expect to force a turnover, but you want their worst shooter taking a perimeter jumper, or a person who is a standstill shooter, you want putting on the floor. So they're starting to figure those things out and understand them, and I think that's a part of the learning curve on defense. Offensively, they have guys that can score. You know, they can put at any time in the game, there are five guys on the floor who can score. And when you have a guy like Jeff Jordan coming in and playing a few minutes and knocking down a few jumpers, that's just an added bonus because everybody else who goes in has the ability to put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, I've always contended that I thought that Jordan coming back was essential for this year because we really lacked another ball handler, and he's making me look good right now. He's doing good things.
He really is. He's done a good job. You know, and the thing is, he hasn't tried to do too much. He's just trying to do what he can do, and he's filling his role. You know, he and Bill Cole both are really, you know, embracing that role that they have and not trying to do more than they're capable of doing. And I think that's where, that's where you find success when you have guys who fill those roles. And I think DJ Richardson can play the point down the road. I just don't think he's ready to do that now.
Right, and the thing I like about Cole is Cole can play perimeter defense, too. We were not sure that he'd be able to guard guys out on the perimeter, but I think what we found from Cole is that he can play virtually any two-guard in the country.
Yeah, I think what Cole's doing, he's figured out how to use his length to back off a step. Last year, you know, he was coming out trying to pressure a little too much, I think, and he got beat, and he's starting to figure out that he's 6'8", 6'9", and he's got those long arms. Just, you know, be in front of him. You can back off a step so that you can cut off penetration. And so that's a learning curve. Kids figure that out, I think, as they go learn how to play. And obviously it's been successful for him. It's been good for Illinois.
Did you ever expect that our bench would be this good this soon this year?
You know, it's about what I expected. Maybe not the same guys that I thought would be good. I mean, you know, obviously they've gotten some awful good production out of Cole and I expected Keller to do some good things, but I thought, you know, Legion might be a little better than he's been, and obviously he has not been real strong. So, you know, I think it's maybe not surprising that they've gotten some good bench minutes, but maybe surprising about who they've gotten good bench minutes out of.
Will Bruce try to get Griffey a few more minutes? He looked pretty good the other day. He's, you know, he's very confident in his shot. And, you know, I know he's kind of still learning on the defensive end, but it just seems to me once we get in the conference, we're going to need another big body in there.
Yeah, I think I think the plan is to bring him along slowly. He's still got a lot to learn defensively, understanding, you know, how to defend against guys and you know, team defense and things like that. But I think they have to give him enough minutes so that he can learn. And I think that's going to be a key for them going forward. Get him some minutes so that he can learn. Because, even if it's not this year, he's going to be a factor down the line because he is so skilled. I mean, such a skilled player.
I think his footwork is great. His footwork is...
Yep, he's very great, very good offensive player. He can score in the post, got nice footwork. He can hit jump shots. He can, you know, he's got that one dribble pull-up. He passes the ball well. I think, you know, and he's getting stronger. He's starting to feel more comfortable in playing against major college players, and I think you're seeing him start to evolve and become a really good player. So.
I think actually in terms of blocking out, probably Bill Cole and Griffey have the best footwork in terms of blocking guys out. Now they may not be strong enough to hold guys off the boards, but they're both in the right place and with the right footwork virtually every time.
Yeah, I think you saw that last year with Mike Tisdale, where he would block guys out, but he couldn't get the rebound. You know, and this year he's starting to do a little better job. But I think, you know, with age and with maturity and with, you know, with strength, they start to figure it out. I think you start to learn by doing, I guess. Learn from experience.
Brad, tell us your thoughts now on the next two games coming up. Georgia Saturday and Missouri, I believe, is next Wednesday. You know, those teams, their records aren't so great, but they're road games for us. The Missouri game, certainly a big rivalry, will be intense and tough. But give us your knowledge on those squads and what do you think will happen?
Well, I mean, Georgia's got some decent athletes and they've got some size, but they're just not real talented as a team. They're struggling. I'm not sure that they're going to be a big test. In fact, I'd be surprised if they lost that game. I think, you know, the good thing for Illinois is their name is Georgia. I think if they were playing the same team and their name was, you know, Kennesaw State or something, then they would probably have more trouble because they wouldn't take them as seriously. But because they're named Georgia, I think they look at it and say, you know, it's Georgia, so it's a real team. So I think they'll definitely look, you know, take that seriously, and they'll be ready to play. The other game, Missouri game, is obviously it's going to be a big game just because of the style they play. Missouri really gets after it. Illinois is going to have to handle pressure. They did a really good job in the second half at Clemson. Didn't do a very good job in the first half at Clemson. You know, part of that was McCamey's foul trouble, but I think, I think that they're going to be all right against Missouri as long as they don't turn the ball over. You know, if they get in the half court, they can score. They know that once they get the ball across half court and get into a scoring position, they're going to make shots. They're going to get good looks. And so, I think that's going to be the key for them.
Would it surprise you if the Illinois contingent in Georgia is as loud and vocal as the home teams?
I would actually expect them to have more people, more Illini fans than they do Georgia fans. That would not surprise me at all. I know I've got a lot of people who said they're buying tickets and so forth, and that wouldn't surprise me at all. I think, you know, Georgia's kind of apathetic right now about basketball, and which I don't. You know, when they're not very good, it's football country, you know. Georgia football is a big deal. They're more worried about who their defensive coordinator is going to be than what their basketball team is doing. So we are too.
Yeah, so. We don't care about who our defense is.
Boz is like a racehorse here. Boz's thing is recruiting. He just wants. He's chomping at the bit. He wants to just dive into what's the latest scoop in recruiting.
I don't know. I mean, what's coming? I don't foresee any commitments in the next, few days or anything like that.
Well, since Mr. G was unable to ask, well, I guess that was a question. But let me ask you this: the past weekend, the shootout, Chasen Randall playing Saturday, staying over for the game. How much, if any, did that help? Our cause in potentially him making a final decision going our way.
I think Illinois is in very good position there. I think they've done everything they can do. I think, they've been through Rock Island. People don't, nothing against Rock Island. It's not like, it's not a destination spot. So, and Illinois has been there more than any other program. So that's obviously a feather in their cap. I think that looks good. Chasen is a very, very bright kid. He's going to know which schools are, have been in there the longest and shown in the most love. And I think the only thing really holding this up, in my opinion, is that, he's just still got a little bit of a concern over the number of guards that Illinois has. But from what I'm hearing, it wouldn't shock me to see, a kid like Brandon Paul may not be there by the time Chasen Randall gets there. So there's always those things. No matter which, if you commit to a great program, you're going to find that there are guards. There are good players in front of you.
There's a clip, and it might be on our Talking Illini Facebook. Dan Poneman posted it, I believe, from Saturday, and he actually, somebody asked him, might have been you, I don't know. He actually said that he realizes that, these are guys he could learn from and that will help him get better, Brandon and DJ playing with them for a year if that's what it is, et cetera. Were you at that post game?
I was standing there. I was there, and then I talked to him after that even. So, and that's definitely true. I mean, he knows that. He's a kid who wants to win, and I think he looks at that, he's going to get better. But he's also the kind of kid, I don't know that maybe he's as physically gifted as a Brandon Paul. But by the same token, he will push because he doesn't ever quit. He doesn't ever let up on a play. The kid gives 110% all the time and he knows he's smart and he's skilled and he gets everything done. So if you don't bring it every day, this kid will take your job. I mean, it's just, that's the kind of player he is, So I think he knows that. He knows that he can push kids and he knows that they can push him and it'll make him a better player. So I think Illinois is in a very good position. They had a great visit with him on Sunday. They're obviously, both sides are feel very good about it, I think, right now. And we'll just kind of have to see what happens. He's also a very smart kid, so he's not going to rush into a decision and just throw something out there that's not going to stick. I mean, he wants to make sure he makes the best decision for himself, for his future. And so I don't think he's in any rush because he's got a lot of great options.
Should he go elsewhere? What might be our backup plan for a second guard in that class, if there is one?
Well, I mean, there's obviously the kid from Alabama, Devin Langford. I think they're still recruiting Sam Thompson, Wayne Blackshear. I mean, there's a lot of kids that are still out there available. I mean, a lot of the 2011 kids have not committed, so it'll be very it'll be interesting to see where they actually go, but I don't see them, striking out on everybody. I think they're going to end up with some quality here in this 2011 class.
Bruce,
there's a lot of it out there.
Bruce may not want to hear this, but I think the best thing that could happen to the program is if Brandon Paul is ready to come out after his sophomore year and goes to an NBA team and establishes a reputation as a top-flight NBA guard. I really think that, Bruce's nature is that he likes to see four-year players, but we live in a different age, and what kids want to see is that this is a guy who can get you to the league early.
Yeah, and I think that's true. I think you'll find that, they've gotten a lot of calls from NBA scouts on Brandon Paul already, and Weber's realistic. I mean, he understands that, that's part of the game. As you get good players, they may not be there 4 years. I mean, I think you have to get players that are four-year type players too, but if you get really talented kids, they're probably not going to be around for 4 years.
Give me your assessment on Brandon Paul's game. Does he have any weaknesses? What do you like about him?
Well, yeah, the first thing you notice, he's long, he's athletic. You know, he may only be 6'3", but he is a kid who has great athleticism and length, and so it makes up for maybe being a little short for a two guard. But he is, his big things, he floats a little bit. He tends to lack intensity at times, and I don't think it's intentional. I think it just is one of those things that he has to fight through. He tends to kind of daydream out there, forget what he's doing. Part of that's being young, being a freshman, he'll grow out of that. His ball handling still needs a little bit of work. He has the ability to blow by people. If he gets a little tighter handle, I think you'll see him be able to penetrate even better than he does right now. Defensively, he has all the tools to be an excellent defender. He just, again, sometimes it's just losing sight of his man, losing his focus on the defensive end. Offensively, he can shoot the ball he's got great range, out to 25 feet. He needs to, he can improve his jumper a little bit. He's become more consistent since he's got to Illinois. So I would say, he's definitely, there's a reason he's on the NBA radar. I've liked him. I first saw him, back when he was a sophomore in high school. I loved him then. I think I was the first one to rank him number one in his class in the state of Illinois. And so, I think he's a special talent. There's no doubt.
I love the position he gets into on the top of his jump shot, too. It's really perfect form. He's got his elbow out. He's releasing the ball at the top of his jump shot. It's just really nice to watch.
Yeah, it really is. When he sets his feet, he's tremendous. Sometimes he has a tendency to shoot those shots when he's not set, and that's when you kind of see some of those odd looks. But when he gets his feet set, he's really good. Now the big thing for him is getting to learn to run and catch and still get those feet set and go up straight instead of that tendency to fade a little bit or drift, which is very common for young guys. So
The most impressive play he probably had was the missed dunk against Vanderbilt.
No question. Yeah, and I actually talked to Coach Weber about that afterwards. He said, "Hey, he missed it, but that was great. I mean, it just showed he was trying to be aggressive and get something done." So we were actually happy about that. So
speaking of that, one of the things I read recently was that the kids are. Bruce has loosened up a bit, and the kids are loose, and they're not worried about getting yanked after a shot because, they know their scores, and they know they're a different team and scoring more points, and now the defensive end might be a different story. But do you see that not only during the games but just kind of in practices and as the traveling, as the guys are hanging out, they're pretty loose and together?
Yeah, no question. I think that they're very – it's a loose group. I mean, it's just kind of their nature. Some of them are pretty laid back. They don't have a guy like, Frazier who really kind of – but they're kind of finding that with Mike Tisdale and Dimitri McCamey's kind of taking on more of a leadership role. And so I think that they are looser. I think on the defensive end is where they're still a little tight because they're still trying to figure it out. But offensively, they're just – they're more or less Coach Weber's just kind of letting them play. Realizing they're gonna struggle with some shot selection right now, they're gonna take some bad shots. But the thing about it is, talking to him the other day, he said, but some of those go in. Even though they're bad shots, they go in. So, you kind of gotta let them play a little bit. And I think he's figured that out. Last year they didn't have that free reign because they had to stop people to get wins. It came down to defense because they just didn't have the scores that they have this year. And so, this year they have to. They can let him play a little bit, and they can get away with it.
One of the things, getting back to Brandon for a second, the fans might be a little surprised at, but I'm sure you're not, and I'm not, is, and we talked about this before the season, is that, he can rebound for his size, and he's getting some interesting offensive putbacks as well.
Oh, no question. He was a tremendous rebounder in high school. I actually think that's one of the things they want him to work on. Is being more aggressive going to the offensive glass. Because like you say, there are times when he's in there and he's battling, but coming in off the wing, there's a lot of times he could get in there and he kind of floats again. And that's where he could be even more. He could that extra, that adds to your total. You get that one put back, that one tip dunk, or gets everybody excited and can make a big play in a game. So I think that's what they'd like to push him to do, a little more rebounding on both ends of the floor. But he has the ability to be a really, really good rebounder, and he was a great rebounder in high school.
He had a couple nice putbacks against Western Michigan and mm-hmm. didn't have a big game offensively, but I was impressed with the two putbacks that he had. Has Richardson's shooting surprised you?
No doubt. I always knew that he could shoot the ball from the mid-range. His little pull-up jumper has been money since the day he walked on campus. I mean, he can hit that 15 to 17 footer. But even, you know, last year he didn't shoot it real well from distance. He didn't shoot it great, you know, at Peoria Central from distance. He was okay. But he's shooting 54% from 3-point range, and that's just phenomenal for, you know, for a freshman. Or that's phenomenal for anybody, but, especially for a freshman coming in. And, so it's been a surprise, but if you watch his form, it's just solid. It's the same every time. He doesn't vary, and he has consistency when he's going out to shoot the ball. And that's the key to being a great shooter, is having that consistency, having the same release every time. And he's done a great job of, you know, becoming a tremendous shooter. He's worked really hard on it. I actually have a story on him probably tomorrow that'll be up, talking about his improvement as a shooter and what he credits it, so forth and so on. Talking about his, you know, how he's developed since his freshman year at Peoria Central.
Well, last year he played with two chuckers too, in Bradley and Joseph, who, you know, basically
hard to get a shot.
Basically, if once you pass the ball to either one of those kids, you never got it back.
Yeah, that is definitely true. You know, his role last year was more, and he talks about that too. His role last year was to play defense and, you know, get them the ball more than anything. And it was successful for him, but I think this year he sees that, you know, he can be a scorer too.
Let's get back to recruiting now. We got a few more minutes. Brad Sturdy from Rivals is with us. Brad, any new names that we haven't heard of, whether they're the 2011 class or 12 or freshmen or even are we starting to see some kids on the radar, some eighth graders to start keeping an eye on?
Well, we are. Actually, that's where I'm headed tonight. So watching a middle school basketball game, who'd have thunk that would ever happen?
Boz will go with you.
Who are we watching?
I'm watching Larry Austin Jr. tonight.
I just read about him.
Yeah, I mean, Illinois has been watching him. He was, he's come to their camp the last couple of years, the Illinois camp for a while. He's a very good player, goes to Springfield, Grant Springfield. So I'm like 10 minutes from there. So I'm heading over to watch a game tonight against Quincy. So it'll be interesting. That's the first time I've scouted at an eighth grade basketball game. So be a little different.
It had to happen sometime.
I'm going to my son's North Shore Country Day game tonight. They're playing Northridge Prep. It's not a banner year for North Shore Country Day basketball.
Well, I don't know. I think Grant's pretty good, so hopefully Quincy can give him a game. So here in Springfield.
If you had to give us an answer on the 2011 class, do you think we'll end up with 3, 4, or 5 guys there?
I think they'd like to get 4 for sure, and I think the fifth one will be contingent on finding the right guy. I don't think the fifth guy, if there is a fifth guy, it's going to be a Wayne Blackshear or Sam Thompson. It's going to be a stud. I mean, they're not going to just take anybody if it's a fifth ride, because they like to balance those out a little bit. But if I think they'd like to get 4, because I know they would like another guard. You know, obviously Chasen would be wonderful. And then they'd like a power forward. They'd like a guy who's, you know, come in a four man who can rebound, who can play defense, do the dirty work, you know, get things done around the hoop, and, you know, and also, or an athlete. I mean, Quincy Miller would be ideal because he's, you know, he does a little bit of everything, but, you know, he's probably a long shot as well. But I think they're looking at adding a power forward as well in that class.
Who's more likely to be a McDonald's All-American, Jeremy in 2010 or Wayne Blackshear in 2011?
I think both of them are going to be McDonald's All-Americans when it comes down to it. I don't think they're going to see 2 years in a row go Illinois not having a McDonald's All-American. Of course, Jeremy, I think Thursday night's a big game for him. If he has a nice game on ESPN against Harrison Barnes, then, you know, it'd be a lock. So, but I think he's going to be a McDonald's All-American. He's been at all the top camps. You know, he's been rated highly for his entire career. I think Blackshear will as well. I think he's just got so much potential, and he's really kind of putting it together and throwing up some crazy numbers right now. So.
Who would you compare Blackshear's game to?
I was liking him to Nick Anderson. That's the guy who I've always thought that he reminds me of. He's got that around the baseline, around the hoop. He's so explosive and athletic, and he's got that little short jump shot from 15 feet, just money. And, you know, I don't know. He's expanded a little bit out of 3-point range, maybe not to that level, but, you know, Nick didn't really start shooting the 3 till he got in college. So I think that's a similar kind of, I think they have a similar game of, you know, similar style game and athleticism and everything.
Is he a better ball handler than Anderson was? I thought that was maybe the weak spot in Nick's game.
I think that he's a little better, but that's still, I think that's still a weakness for Wayne, too. I mean, not in the sense that he can't dribble, but, you know, just like we talked about Brandon, he's maybe not quite as he's relied on athleticism and played inside a lot throughout his career, so he's just now learning how to play more facing the basket and on the perimeter and get people off the dribble. But he's made huge strides there, but he's not quite there yet to where he needs to be.
Speaking of McDonald's All-American, does Myers Leonard have a shot at that, or is the competition that he plays going to play against him? Because he looks like he's playing awfully well.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. Myers has unlimited potential. In fact, I would even say he has more potential than Richmond when it comes down to it, because he's 7 foot, and you just can't teach his athletic ability in a 7-footer. And he's extremely skilled, too, so... I think he's got a chance to be McDonald's All-American, but it's going to be tough because to be honest, he didn't have a great July. He's rated more on his potential right now because his July was not great. But I think a lot of scouts saw him the other day at the shootout, and I think that opened some eyes because I think some people said, wow, he's putting it together now. And so I think he's got a chance, but I think it's an outside chance. He's obviously playing in Robinson, Illinois. That you're not going to get a lot of exposure there.
Were there a lot of recruiting gurus at the shootout in Champaign?
Yeah, there was a ton from all over. You know what's amazing is four years ago when they started this thing, it was me and another guy that were there for the first game. And, you know, it then filled in maybe 4 or 5 people there at the end of the day. And now it's like, now there's probably, I would guess they gave out 50 or 60 media passes.
Who are the biggest names who are there other than you, Brett?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a big name, so I know Evan Daniels from Scout was there as far as a national guru. So, you know, there were a lot of guys. I was there, of course, wrote some stuff up for Rivals, and there were a lot of the Illinois guys from the Sun Times, guys from the Tribune, guys from, you know, newspapers. You know, it was just kind of all across the board. I believe there was somebody covering it for Prep Stars, and so I mean you get that kind of coverage, and man, people really notice it. So.
Of the national guys who were there, who surprised them? Who played in the weekend's games?
Well, I think most people were surprised, not necessarily surprised, but they were with Myers and Chasen were the two guys, and probably Rayvonte Rice, you know, but not from an Illinois standpoint. But Myers and Chasen would be the two guys who really kind of stood out to people as far as the Illinois targets and commitments that, like, wow, you know, because Myers did some things, you know, the other day with the turnaround jump shots and even the outlet pass that he threw length of floor was amazing. I mean, he's got a great arm and showed great passing ability. And then Chasen with his jump shot, he's really become fluid. He's become solid. You know, it's like we talk about that consistency. He's got that release. And now that jump shot that was not a strength when he was a freshman, it was kind of a weakness. Now it's become a strength and makes him really hard to guard.
If Myers would have moved to Chicago for a year with his mother and been in the national spotlight, almost like Kevin Garnett was for his senior year, would people just be drooling over him in this market?
No question. I think he would be and you get him in some of those up and down games where he can really use his athleticism, and he'd get played more one-on-one up there too. You know, now, you know, he comes down the court, he's got 5 guys in the lane. You know, I mean, because that's the way they play. They keep him from getting the ball, and they bring him out high, trying to get him the ball. They're trying to do everything they can, but, you know, in some of those Chicago area schools, he would just get a chance. He would get some free reign to run in the post and get tip dunks and run the floor and get run outs, people would just be, I think, would be slobbering all over him, to be honest. I mean, so he would probably have a much better chance of being a McDonald's All-American and top 20 kid, you know, 5-star type kid.
Does he have anybody around him who he can play with on his team?
Yeah, he has. They're a nice team for a 2A team. They have some nice players, but, you know, it's just a different level. I think they have a chance to make some noise in 2A. They have a kid named Ben Jones who is a nice little athlete. He can shoot the ball. He's a guard, and he's more of a wing, not really a true point. They got a nice another kid who can shoot the ball from the perimeter, and it takes a little pressure off him at times. But I think sometimes I think he gets frustrated a little bit, but because of who, you know, he's been playing with Jeremy Richmond, Wayne Blackshear, and people like that, and Tracy Abrams all summer. So I think those guys are, you know, just on a different level. But they have a nice team. They got a chance to make a run in 2A, I think.
Speaking of Tracy, there's word that he might be playing next summer with Mullins and Nana and Chasen. Is that a reality?
Yeah, that's a reality. I heard about it about a month ago, and Mike Mullins asked me not to say anything, and so we didn't say anything. And obviously Tracy told me the other, you know, he said it now, and Mike said it as well. So, I mean, I guess it's pretty much out there. And I talked to Chasen about that the other day, and he's pretty excited about having another guard like that around their team. But, you know, it'll be a good experience for Tracy playing with us. They're going to be a really, really good team with Nana and Chasen and Tracy, and then you add Jacob Williams from St. Patrick's. You got a really good team. And then you've got a lot of those role player guys, David Sobolewski and I'm drawing a blank on some of the other guys, but they've got a lot of like guys who can do those little things, do the dirty work around the basket, and guys that can make jump shots, you know, Will Sullivan as well. So they've got some guys who can score off the bench, and they're going to have that starting lineup that's just going to be great. So
yeah,
they should have a great run next summer.
I love the fact that Mullins is going to have some input into these guys' games too, because I just think he's a terrific coach, terrific person, and he's really going to coach these kids up.
Yeah, I think Mike does a really good job, you know, coaching kids, teaching them. You know, they spend a lot of time working on, you know, fundamentals, learning how to play. You know, and they win a lot of games. You know, they've been really successful. And Chasen was MVP of a couple tournaments last year. They won their last two tournaments down in Kansas City and also in Merrillville. So, I mean, I think they're pretty I think that it's going to be a good experience for all of them.
Okay, Brad, last question. We win the next four in a row, including the Northwestern game. Then we skid, you know, into all conference games. What will we be rated if we win the next four in a row after Gonzaga?
After Gonzaga, that's a Saturday, so it'd be the next poll, I guess, be the January poll. I think they're in the top 20 if that happens. I think they're in the top 20. I think if they can win the next couple games, I think Northwestern's going to be one of those games where we got to make sure that they have to make sure that they show up to play and ready to go and want to get things done, because now Northwestern could be ranked in the top 25 when that happens, because they're really right if they're receiving votes, they probably won't lose before then. But so hopefully that'll get their attention. But if they go from Missouri and start looking at Gonzaga and forget Northwestern at home in the middle, that could be, because Northwestern's going to grind it out and play slow and, you know, pass it around, and those guys haven't seen this offense yet, those young kids, and it's not easy to defend when you're not, you know, well schooled in it. But so I think that they'd be in the top 20 if that happens. I think they'll be fired up for the Missouri and Gonzaga games for sure, though.
When's the next time you're coming up to Chicago, Brad?
I will be there over Christmas for the Proviso West tournament, and then I'll be up there for the Gonzaga game, of course.
Well, let us know. We'd love to have you out for a drink or something, and we hope to see you soon.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks,
all
Brad.
All right, Brad, thanks a lot. Merry Christmas.
No problem. Thanks, guys. You too.
Brad Sturdy from Rivals going to watch an eighth grader tonight, and you make fun of me, Mr. G.
Well, it's his job, Boz. You have a day job. Your job is you sell insurance to people.
Actually, Brad has a day job, too. Amazingly enough, this isn't his full-time job.
Perhaps not, but I still think he's cashing a paycheck for this one.
Yeah, he does get paid for his Rival work. So, as I mentioned, Mr. G, I thank you very much for giving me next week off. I'm sure you'll have a
I have some thoughts in terms of who I'd like to have as a guest host with me. Actually, I'd like to hear from some of our listeners, though. You can email me at talkingalini@yahoo.com. Again, that's talkingalini@yahoo.com. Let's name a suitable replacement for Boz next week. Who would we like
possible.
To have? Who would we like to have sitting in that chair?
One more thing I'd like to say before we get out of here, a little advice for the coaching staff, especially the Missouri game. When teams are
pressing us. Are you listening, coaching staff?
When teams are pressing us, we've gone to a little pattern where they flash Brandon in the middle. He hasn't gotten it a lot, but you know, we've done okay. But I think, whether it's Cole or Tisdale or Davis, the easiest thing to do is get your tallest guy in the middle, and luckily all these three guys that I mentioned can handle the ball, at least catch it pretty well, and Cole can actually turn and go up court with it a little. But I think we would have no problem at all simply, after inbounding the ball, if Missouri's pressing, flash, Tisdale to the middle, right at the center court or a little on, you know, the defensive side, whatever it takes. Throw it up high, let him get it and pivot, and then hit an open man cutting down the sideline be very simple, very easy. We don't have to worry about passing it back and forth horizontally in the backcourt. Just move it, pass it up to the tallest guy.
Do you think they've tried that in practice?
I hope so, but I haven't seen it in the game
yet.
Well,
maybe when they try it in practice, it doesn't work all that well.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. If it happens, we'll say you heard it here first, just like we're, you know, going to the pro offense in football.
Yeah, all because of your commentary.
No, not because of my commentary, because of our presentation here, Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. We got Howard Griffith and... He's a very influential guy.
I'm a little saddened by the fact that we missed, is it Andrea Bizzari?
Angela
Bizzari.
We'll get her. We missed her, but we'll get her. We got to, you know, take care of our listeners, and we will get her on when I'm back.
Clearly the most heralded athlete at the University of Illinois this year. And we will make an attempt to get her back.
By her winning what she did, she's up for NCAA Female Athlete of the Year, which will be named in the spring. And if she wins the spring, I don't know, 5,000 meters or whatever it is, and makes it a triple in terms of national championship, she'll have a good shot at.
Dave behind the glass just gave me the Carol Burnett tug on the earlobe. I think it's time to say goodbye.
Does that mean he wants to go out with you or what?
No, I don't think so. ILL, Boz.
I, Mr. G.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.